There it is. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Good to see y'all. Y'all look great this morning. Good to see you. So many smiling faces, and it's a beautiful day. Isn't it a beautiful day just to come and just love on Jesus, because he loves us so much. You know, he never sleeps nor slumbers, the word tells us, and he's with us 24/7. There's never a second that goes by that he's not watching over us. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Let's just worship him and thank him this morning. Father, just thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, God, that goes before us and is around us and in us and works through us, oh God. Thank you for this moment together today, God, that we can celebrate you. You said, Lord, if we come into your house with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, that you would inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. And I thank you that that's what's taking place today. Lord, what a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place right now. We just want to give you praise and thanks, Father. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, we want to welcome you this morning to First Assembly. We are so happy that you're tuning in with us. And this message, I believe, is for every one of us today. And I appreciate you tuning in with us today and being a part of our service. So we love Jesus. Amen. And you love one another. Look at your neighbor. Say, so glad you're here today. Yeah, there you go. For so many years, planting our church in Charleston for so many years, I was talking to a couple guys this morning, and Jason, and I said, you know, for so many years, we did it all. You know, we had to do, I mean, and we love serving the Lord in whatever way, in capacities that we can, and for many years, we did the worship, and our family did, we kind of like the Von Trant family, we did all the worship and the music, and we love that, but we were coming across the street this morning and heard the music playing, and I said, listen to that, honey. I said, they already got it going on, we don't have to, they already worshiping in there, and so to walk in, don't you guys appreciate this worship team? They do a fantastic job. Yeah, give them a hand. Just the dedication, coming in on Thursdays and practicing, and then early on Sunday mornings, the sound check. What a blessing. You guys are so blessed. So I'm just very thankful for what God's already doing here. Thank you for your confidence in us once again, and we're just so excited for what God has for us. We're going to be on a journey together, and we're going to be doing some experiments along the way. We're going to watch God do what he wants to do. We just want to be open to his presence, to his direction, his guidance. And I'm believing that we're in store for some great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in mighty moves of God. I'm praying that there's going to be a third wave revival in our land. Our nation needs Jesus. And we need a revival. We need the move of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And that's what I want to talk with you about the next few weeks together. And talking about renewal. Everybody say renewal. Renewal, a renewal of our minds, a renewal of our hearts, a renewal of our lives, and just being just immersed in the presence of God and being renewed by his presence and by his Spirit. That takes an open and willing heart, and so that's where I want us to look at today. We're going to look at the person of the Apostle Paul over the next few weeks. I'm amazed at this man and amazed at what we see throughout the Pauline letters, the epistles, but especially in the book of Acts, how the writer of Acts just demonstrates the character of Paul. And I want you to go in chapter 20 of Acts, and we're going to be looking together this morning. I did want to mention, too, and some of you guys have been around Rock Hill for a little while will know what I'm talking about. I had my shrimp boat fixed last night. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I was raised on that stuff. How many remember the old shrimp boat was actually a shrimp boat, and you walked on a plank to get into it, right? I love that place. We had a putt-putt behind it. Remember the putt-putt golf course? That was a Friday night special. If we got to go out on a Friday or Saturday night, my family, and we'd go putt-putt and then eat some fried chicken over at Shrimp Boat. So if you don't know what Shrimp Boat is and you've been in Rock Hill for a while, shame on you if you don't know what it is. So I'm getting reacquainted with some of my old roots here, and we had a good time last night. But you're there in chapter 20 of Acts. Let's read it together. Don't you love the word of the Lord? We're going to be around chapter 20 in certain places, but I want us to have a theme. I usually like to do a theme scripture passage in any series that I do, and what I encourage you to do is memorize that part of the scripture. And we'll be going around it and through it and all around it, but there's one thing that jumps out at me when I read this text in chapter 20. So how many know this year we've had some difficult times over the last, what, year and a half? And it's amazing. You guys still have a smile on your face, that all the things you've been going through. And but Paul was a man who was really going through it. And he reached a place in his life where he could say what I'm about to read. And it amazes me, it astounds me that he has this demeanor about him. And he says this in chapter 20, verse 22. Everybody, say, if you're there, say, praise the Lord. And now, compelled by the Spirit. Everybody say, compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And what I want you to get in your heart and your knower this morning is that right there. He says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's here already. Lord, you go before us, and you're around us, and you're behind us, Lord. There's nowhere where we could go, Lord, that your presence is not, and I'm thankful for that. And I pray, Lord, that the next few moments together that you would make this word, Lord, a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, and we'll hide it in our hearts. So we'll run hard after you and not sin, Lord, but love you and follow you all the days of our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said amen. You can be seated. Give somebody a high five or a fist bump before you're seated. God bless you guys. So I want to talk with you today about living with promise. Everybody say promise. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Come on, if you guys, you know what? I'm going to do a litmus test. If you're really Pentecostal, when I say the Holy Spirit, you should be getting excited about when the word Holy Spirit. Because that's a big ingredient of who we are, the people of who we are, the Pentecostal people of who we are. We came in with Caleb and Heather yesterday at their birthday, and one of your family members, I don't remember who it was, she said, I'm Pentecostal. And I'm like, I am too. Hallelujah. Because I was asking if she went to church here. I believe she goes to another church in Lancaster and Precious. And she said, I'm Pentecostal. I'm like, we identify. We're Protestant, yes, but we're not so much evangelical, but we're Pentecostal. I used to think I'm evangelical and I'm Pentecostal, kind of on like a subtitle of that. But no, Pentecostalism is really actually in the last 10 to 15, maybe 20 years within the theological world, or if you will, the church world, Pentecostalism really has become more equivalent to other belief systems, it's more accepted, more written about. And so we're seeing over the last 15, 20 years, Pentecostalism is more written about. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, man, that's our vein, right? That's our rhythm, the Holy Spirit. And so I believe Paul, under all the hardships and challenges and trials that we read about in his life, and especially throughout the book of Acts and the church being challenged and all that's happening in his life, we see a man who has gotten in tune with God so much so that he gets to a place where he says in verse 22, I am compelled. Everybody say one more time. I am compelled. I am compelled by the Spirit to go. To go. There's some things that we do in life that just don't make sense. But we know God's in it, so we just trust Him with it. Hello? Some things in life to where we just have to know that God's in it. It doesn't make sense. We write it down on paper. Oh, you want me to give this much, Lord? I don't really know how we're going to pay the bills. But you put it on paper. It doesn't make sense. But God speaks something to your heart, and you give it because you want to be in obedience, because I am compelled by the Spirit. You guys are praying for healing of your bodies. Well, this physical body is going to wear out. It's not going to last forever, and things are going on, and I don't understand. We've even got some close friends that they're dealing with issues in their lives right now, and you wonder, but somehow we go to the Father, but I am compelled by the Spirit that He is Jehovah Rapha, and I know He's going to be my healer. Right? I'm compelled by the Spirit. You're here this morning in church. You got up. It would have been a wonderful Sunday morning to sleep in. Hello, hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody said, what did you say, Marianne, yesterday? You're going to have your what? Y'all went after the party. You said you're going to go have your what, was it? Recliner assembly. I never heard that one before. And I was like, I'm with you. I love that, recliner assembly. The little older we get, the more we like recliner assembly. I like that one. But to be able to come to church and to say, look, this is important to me. I mean, why did you come this morning? Because you were compelled by the Spirit. Why did you get up and want to have and read the Bible and pray and to seek the Lord, to sit in His presence? Because you were compelled by the Spirit. I want you to get this in your heart. The thing that we do called church, the thing that we do for living for God, knowing who God is. Did you know what? We did choose him, but you know what? He chose us first. As a father, the son, he delights in. He chases us. He chastens us. He does those things because he wants us to follow him, and we are compelled by the Spirit to know God. Paul had reached a place in his life, no matter what he was going to go through, no matter what trials he was going to face, no matter what persecution he was in, even in the midst of a dungeon, in chains, in bondage, in persecution, and people are even after his life, he had reached a place in his life because of the Spirit. He said, I am compelled by the Spirit of God to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but I know that people are after my life. I know that the Holy Spirit warns me everywhere I go, but still he is willing to walk on the path of danger and the path of uncertainty, the path he doesn't know, because he trusts in the God and he is compelled by the Holy Spirit. Compelled by the Holy Spirit. The last year and a half has been incredible, unprecedented times in our history. We had the COVID pandemic. We're still living in a not so much a post-COVID, but we are living in a post-pandemic era right now. We're trying to figure out things and navigate things, and companies are still under stress, and there's this unemployment thing that we're getting ready to face. We saw a sign the other day on a Hardee's billboard. It said $400 incentive for if you apply today. I'm like, $400 to get a job at Hardee's. Now, that might be right now, but in about 6 months when unemployment starts running out, you're not going to be able to find a job. It's just people are going to be going after, and things are going to get hard. Things are already hard in stressful times, and it's led to an economic crisis. And we saw earlier in last year, the death of George Floyd led into a racial pandemic in our nation. And now we see a border crisis pandemic in our nation, in our world. Now we see this crisis in Israel. We see things happening all around us. We need to know that in the midst of these challenges and these trials and these situations that we can press through because we are compelled by the Spirit to know that God is in control. And if he's in control, I want to be on his team. I want to be a part of what he's doing. I am not going to allow my life to be out of control just because things around me are out of control. I am not going to allow my spirit to be troubled just because this world is in trouble. Because I know a God where there's nothing is impossible for him, a God who is my healer, a God who is my shepherd God. The Bible says he is Jehovah Roi. He is my shepherd God, if you will. He is the one who leads me and guides me. He's around me. He is with me, and he knows me, and I am compelled by his spirit to follow after him in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenges and strife in my life. In other words, I'm not going to give up on God because he's not giving up on me. Right? I'm not going to give up on God. I am not going to give up. I'm not going to quit God. I am not going to quit church. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody didn't understand me. Somebody didn't know. I am not going to quit church. I'm not going to quit God. Man will fail us. Your pastor is not perfect. Far from it. And I'll be the first to admit it. I tell people, man, we're so excited that God's bringing us to Rock Hill, and God, I just can't believe it. It's an awesome opportunity. And I say, it's like the train's already rolling and moving. I just don't want to get in there and mess it up. I want someone to come in here and do what God wants me to do. So I'm going to try to stay out of the way in a sense, but I'm going to be in the middle of it. But I don't want to mess up what God's doing here. But you know why we decided this is what God wants us to do? Because we were compelled by the Spirit. That's the only reason, compelled by the Spirit. So we operate and move, and that's where Paul's at. He said, I'm compelled by the Spirit. So during this series over the next few weeks, I want you to be thinking about that one line. Everybody say it with me, compelled by the Spirit. So you walk, you live, you move, you have your being in Christ, and you're compelled by the Holy Spirit of God. That means you need to know who the Spirit is. That means you need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. I need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit. So how am I acquainted with this Holy Spirit? I've got to be in his presence. Now, worship for me, I love when y'all worship, and this is an awesome opportunity to worship God on Sunday mornings. But worship, from what I see in the Word and from my life, worship is more than just three songs or four songs on a Sunday morning. My worship is an act of obedience every day of my life. It's having no breakfast before my Bible. It's having a time of quiet time in the morning before my day starts. It's wherever you can find that moment in God throughout the day. He's always with you. It's driving in your car. It's sitting at the desk at work. It's out in the field working. Whatever you're doing in life, the Holy Spirit's with you. And throughout the day, I'm just going to pray the Holy Spirit just keeps reminding you throughout the day in these weeks to come. Compelled by the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit. That's why I'm doing. I'm living and moving and acting and having my life in Christ because I'm being compelled by the Spirit. Now, my prayer has changed over the last few months. I've tweaked what I feel. You know, we pray, God, give me favor for that situation. I need favor for that interview. I need favor for that conversation. I need favor for that relationship. Whatever it is, God, give me favor. And the Holy Spirit checked me one day on that, and he says, am I not already with you? Am I not already walking in? Am I not already a part of who you are? I'm not already living in you, right? I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, Pentecostal people. There you go. Right there again. You're getting too quiet on me. If you're Pentecostal, you need to be jumping on Holy Spirit stuff. I'm just saying, it's how it works. So I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I walk in the favor of God. Somebody asked me how you doing. Say, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I might be having a terrible morning, but I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord because I'm filled with his presence. You see, it's not something you just switch on and off. It's not something that just comes and goes. It's something that's part of you 24/7 all the time. You're breathing Holy Spirit. You're breathing his presence. His DNA is in you. So Paul gets to a place, he gets to a place when he's talking to the church of Galatia, and he said, I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. And that's the same things he's saying here in Acts 20. He's saying, look at verse 20, 22 again, if you will, in all 24, 23. He says, I only know in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life, what does he say, worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race. My only aim is to be compelled by the Spirit to do what he's asking me to do. It doesn't make sense. It's difficult. It's even painful. But I am compelled, Marion, by the Spirit of God to do what he asked me to do. I'm compelled by the Spirit. I'm walking in cadence with the Spirit, and I sense that he's wanting me to do these things, to walk in the, he wants me to speak that word of life to that loved one or that stranger I just met who's become a friend now, or that person, that clerk behind the cash register. I'm compelled by the Spirit to demonstrate love. I'm doing things out of my own comfort zone. I'm doing things that he's asked me to do, things that are not easy because I'm compelled by the Spirit. And when you operate that way, there's something happens that renews you. There's something happened that refreshes you. When you're walking in tune with the Holy Spirit, there is renewal because you're walking with promise that I am not alone in this life. I'm not by myself. David sung the song in Psalm 23. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What he is saying there, it's not necessarily death, but it's what he's saying in the context of that moment, in that song. He's saying there is death all around me. There is. How many know we live in a sin-filled world? There's bad news all around us. And you can sing it, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa! You can sing it all day long, and you'll get other people around you to sing it with you. But I choose not to live in that place. I want to choose to live in the place where I say I'm compelled to know that God is with me. I'm compelled by the Spirit of God. I can sense him. I know he's with me in the middle of this difficult moment, in the middle of this challenge, in the middle of this trouble I'm in. God is with me. I am compelled. I know that he's with me. I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to do that which is unthinkable to me. He does those things unmeasurably for me. That's the place where Paul has gotten to. And my prayer has changed over the years. So I'm no longer praying, Lord, give me favor. Because he says, I already gave you favor. Why are you asking me for that again? You're walking in favor. And I say, Lord, I need your favor. Well, you got my favor. I've got you. I'm behind. I've got your back. I got your front. I got your side. I'm right here with you. He said, I'm with you. And you walk in that favor. Favor is that preferred thing before all others. It's the same kind. It's preferred. Aren't you thankful that he favors you? That you're preferred? It's a person or thing that is especially popular or particularly well-liked by someone. Let me give you some scripture text about favor. Hallelujah. Psalm 5:12 says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Aren't you thankful for that? Psalm 90, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Hallelujah. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let me give you another one. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger only lasts for a moment, but his favor lasts how long? A lifetime. Aren't you thankful for that? So weeping may tarry at night, but joy comes in the morning. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things out according to his counsel and his will. I am compelled by the Spirit because I know that I walk in the favor of God. I walk in the favor of God because I know him and he knows me. And he says, if you come and know me, I will come and know you. And we'll have supper together. We'll eat. We'll fellowship together. And I am always with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Brother Steele, you're not in this life alone, ever. I know you've got your precious wife with you. You've got your beautiful family, your kids. But you've got the Holy Spirit that's right there by your side. 24/7, never to leave your side. Even when you sleep, he doesn't slumber. Even when you're asleep and resting, he's right there with you. Aren't you thankful for that? Favor. Now, I kind of gave you a backdrop for where we're going to go next, and I got a lot more I want to get into. But we're going to hold it right there and get on to that next week. So what we'll do is I want you to read this next portion of Scripture. I want you to back up to same chapter in verse 7. You got this obscure story about a young man named Eutychus. I want you to read that this week, and we're going to talk about it next Sunday. So we'll get on the same page, because if I open that up right now, I'm gonna keep y'all here to 1 o'clock, and y'all gonna beat the fried chicken people when they get there. The Baptists gonna get out early, and they're gonna go get all the fried chicken before you get over there. So I don't. But I want you to think about what's going on here in chapter 7 through verse 12, or verse 7 through 12, where we see the story of a man whose his name Eutychus actually means favor. Everybody say favor. His name means favor. It's interpreted as favor. It's understood as the word favor. But his story seems like everything but favor. It seems like he had a bad day. He had bad news that day. But it ended up being something miraculous. And what happened in his life is something that I want us to experience over these next few weeks. I don't know about you, but I'm in need of the Holy Spirit. I'm in need of his breath breathing on me every second, every hour. Hello? So there has to be a place where I nurture that, because I need that Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you guys, if you'll join me on this journey over the next few weeks, I believe God's going to do some amazing things among our congregation. We're worshiping together, but also individually. In your situations, in your challenges, I believe we're going to see wonderful testimonies and praise reports of what God's going to do. Just because you're narrow, you're it's like you're focusing in. You're narrowing on that lens, and you're bringing it in focus to the person of the Holy Spirit. And you're saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to breathe in me. I keep wanting to get back to the narrative here of Eutychus, but there was a place where there was a resuscitation, a breath. Paul prayed over him, and there was he came back to life. Resuscitation, where there was a breath. And that's how God operates in our lives. Some of us may feel like, you know, you're barely hanging on. You're barely making it. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough money in the bank. There's not enough people that can encourage me. There's something missing, something I need from God, and only God can fill that God-sized hole that he's placed in our hearts. Only God can fill that, and he's asking for you and me to focus in on the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's okay to pray to the Holy Spirit. I've kind of walked through that journey a little bit, James. Is it okay that I pray to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Because the triune nature of God, they're equal. They're not subordinate. So I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to the Father. I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to God. And so I have learned such a privilege to start talking, praying to the Holy Spirit. He's such a sweet gentleman. Precious triune nature of God. The Holy Spirit. Everybody say that with me. Holy Spirit. My grandma was Church of God. She'd say, Holy Ghost. That scared me. I didn't want to say Holy Ghost. But I knew what she meant. You see, my mama, she went on to be with the Lord many years ago, but she went to church at Leslie Church of God. Anytime I got sick, I'd say, Mom, call Mama. Because when I talk to her on the phone and she starts praying for me, she talks in this funny language and I feel better after we pray. She knew a place in the Holy Spirit. Nothing weird, just the presence. You know, as we move forward in church world, in our nation, what does the Holy Spirit look like to us as Pentecostals? What's it going to look like moving forward? And I really am praying and believing that as we journey together, guys, that we're going to experience a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, a resuscitation, because we're asking him for it. He says, if you ask me for it, I'm not going to withhold it from you. So you got to get hungry like me. Lord, I want your presence. I want your Spirit. On Sunday mornings, we got the praise team in here worshiping. They're getting ready. But some of you prayer warriors, if you guys get here about 15 minutes early, I want to see you walking through here and anointing the chairs with oil and praying over them. And saying, Lord, whoever sits in this chair today, I'm praying that you'd save them, that you would heal them, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. Can somebody help me do that on Sunday mornings? I know we're talking, and that's all right, but some of you, you're just going to be talking to the Holy Spirit. You're going to be walking around just praying over chairs. And I want some help doing that, okay, on Sunday mornings. I want you to get serious about this thing with me and just say, Lord, I'm locking in. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how difficult it is. Whatever I'm going on, whatever happened with me this week, I'm setting it at your feet, and I'm asking for you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Your presence, in the name of Jesus. Resuscitation. And so when you're operating that way, you're working on the promise. Everybody say the promise. You see, the Holy Spirit is a promise. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. He told his disciples, but I'm going to send one after me, the promise, he would be with you. Because I'm never going to leave. And he says, matter of fact, you're going to do greater things than I did with you. Because we're spreading it out. I'm only one man. We're only 12 disciples. But the Holy Spirit is going to spread it out everywhere. And so we, people of the Spirit, we got to be operating in that. And that means we got to hunker down and get to know him. And really focus and say, Lord, fill me. Now, is it okay to ask God to fill you again? Absolutely. That's somebody, we were praying one morning, somebody asked me, I was praying for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in our circle. And a lady said afterwards, she said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah. She said, why do you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you again? He's already filled you once. And I'm like, well, all I know is when Megan was a baby, I couldn't feed her fast enough. Remember how she would just, the jars of whatever that green stuff was that she would eat and spit out everywhere? It's like, I would just kind of keep shoveling it in. And if I wouldn't shovel it fast enough, she'd start crying. And I'd just like hold the jar under and just feed her. A baby's going to get hungry after that first meal. I can't just feed them one time and believe that they're going to be good for the whole week. They keep eating. They keep drinking the bottle. They keep needing that nurturing, that nutrition. Child of God, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be refreshed in drinking of that Holy Spirit, drinking of that presence of God. So whatever that looks like for you, young and old in this room, I want you to cut out some margin in your time and say, it's not so much, I'm not asking you to pray an hour or you have to do certain, I don't want it to be that for you. I just want it to be where you just take a moment, pause, and say, I need you, Holy Spirit. I want to be compelled by the Spirit. And the only way I can be compelled is know Him. So we're going to do something this morning together I thought would be good to kick it off, would be take communion together. You have your element with you.